Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, Henrik here with Red Ice TV. Good of you to tune in. Great to have you here. Another serious topic coming to you today. We talk a lot about censorship, and we have to. And I know that some people are even, they're tired of it. They're tired of hearing the the whining of people like us who are just getting banned off of these all these platforms all the time, from PayPal to YouTube to Twitter to Facebook and all this, the new space, the new town square, effectively, in the digital world. We are being affected by this, and we are limited in our ability to reach out to people with our messages, and the enemies are relentless in their attacks and their mass flaggings and shadow bannings and censoring and termination of accounts and everything else. Another one has happened, unfortunately. Our good friend Millennial Woes, who joins us to talk about his banning of his Twitter account. Woes, welcome back. Thanks for being here. Although it's over, as usual, is very disturbing and sad circumstances in regards to all this vehement attacks that we're facing in terms of censorship and banning of our accounts.
Yes, yes. It's terrible. Do you want me to tell the story of what happened?
Tell the story. I can show the tweet here. And were you in a conversation? I think you replied to Laura from Defend Europe, partially.
I think it was a thread started by her. I don't want her to regret this, but yeah, I think it was a thread that started by her. Someone else had replied to her, and then I replied to that person. And then somebody reported this at some point. And we don't know who it was, obviously. It could have been the person I was replying to, or it could have been someone else, a bystander. So what happened was, I can't even remember what the thread was about, but either way, I replied to this person saying, "Not at all, black men are more prone to committing violent crime than white men." Now, that is a statistical, criminological fact that is not even controversial. It's well known. The BBC have reported it, the Channel 4 have reported it, Wikipedia has reported it, it's on there, the Race and Crime article, the FBI, and so on. I mean, it's just a very well-known thing. I was saying something that not only was true, but that it is well-known to be true. And
here's a classic for those who don't know, right? According to the 2010 National Crime Victim Survey done by the Bureau of Justice Statistics under the U.S. Department of Justice, it says exactly what you just pointed out, that if you adjust for population, then blacks are more prone to commit violence. It's just a fact.
Yes.
25 times more. Blacks commit 25 times more violent assaults than whites do against blacks. And 200 times, the rate for blacks is 200 times higher against whites than it is for whites against blacks. Right? So this is, it's a fact. But as we've said, Woos, facts are racist, and reality is people need to be protected from this reality.
Yeah, the truth is no defense. And literally, we now know that on Twitter, the truth is no defense. Now, apparently the same thing happened to, and I knew that Tommy Robinson had been banned a few months ago. And apparently it was the same thing. It was that he had reported a fact found by Colette that I think 84% of people, men convicted of child grooming in Britain, 84% of them are Pakistani Muslims. So that is a statistical fact. Twitter banned him for tweeting it. They've banned me for tweeting this. And so what happened was, I got this email a few hours later, maybe, I don't know, 10 hours later, and it said that your Twitter account has been suspended. Now, the same thing happened back to me back in early June. I got banned, but I was able to get that overturned on appeal. So I immediately, so here was the email. You've been suspended for violating the rules on hateful conduct. And you may not, this is the definition or whatever, the elaboration, you may not promote violence against, threaten or harass other people on the basis of race, etc. Well, I had not threatened anyone, I had not harassed anyone, and I had certainly not promoted violence against anyone. So I don't see how I had violated that rule on hateful conduct. It's ridiculous. And yet, there it is. And
let's explain to people, too, was before you go on, that you were using it quite a bit. You told me before we started how it has affected you. I mean, this is an interesting discussion in itself in terms of our dependency on social media, but just briefly, a lot of people they are effectively addicted to social media. Facebook have had people on the inside that worked with the development of the platform talking about how they specifically know these things. Many of the employees at these social media companies don't even let their own kids using these platforms because it's actually hurtful in many ways. It actually creates dependency. It creates, in some cases, weird kind of psychological issues with people's needs to be get affirmation and stuff like that all the time. But those things to the side for now. Just the fact that you were an avid user of the platform and using it to reach your audience out there and your subscribers and stuff like that has been particularly damning to, or hurtful to you. Just tell us about that more.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I had been sort of taking a break from the channel to a great extent because just for various reasons that I don't need to go into here. And so Twitter was the thing that was my way of keeping in touch with the community, keeping myself visible to people, and also for having fun. And even when you're hard at work, Twitter was a sort of way to do something constructive, hopefully, but also to have a bit of fun because we're all on there. Well, everyone else is on there, and it's a great way to socialize. A great way to build a sense of momentum. I've been interviewed by On the Offensive earlier today, and he and I were talking about this aspect of it. It's a very good interview. It'll be on his channel by now. Because you can take the fight to the left. And that's something that I think is basically unique to Twitter. That I don't think there is anywhere else where you, as an identitarian, a nationalist, or whatever, can interact publicly and privately with leftists, centrists, conservatives, far leftists, journalists, academics, institutions, companies, organizations. Everyone is on Twitter. And so it's absolutely crucial. And I think it's unique. What that also brings you is the opportunity to publicly have a little exchange with one of these people, and either it's a sort of enjoyable, witty, or sometimes it's a bitter, angry exchange from both sides, and sometimes you have a victory, a wee win, and so that's good for us. It's good for our side because everyone then enjoys that. It's like it's fun,
and that's what they don't want. By the way, quickly, as the alternative influencers network kind of show that they don't want us to interact with each other and have the ability to actually, try to convince other people and say, hey, listen, I have these facts, I have this data, what do you think of this, or whatever. They don't want that. They just total termination.
Yeah. One thing that the mainstream has successfully done forever is to make sure that, let's say, identitarian or nationalist ideas, that those people can only interact with each other in a ghetto, in a self,
right.
They can't interact with other people, and certainly not on equal terms. But on Twitter, you could. But on Twitter, you still can. And I think that is kind of it's dangerous because it means that obviously nationalists are going to start looking, they're going to win arguments, and so I think in my case, I did that quite fairly regularly, and. You can see why they wouldn't want that happening. But the other aspects of Twitter, it's also very useful for getting announcements out there. I've just been interviewed on this channel. You can watch it here. I need some advice on this topic. Can you contact me? And so in my case, 22,000 people would potentially see that tweet, any one tweet that I put up. Another aspect of it is that it's social networking. With our own people and also with people outside of our sphere, it's also excellent for first contact. There are many people that I'm only connected to, or I was only connected to on Twitter, and now I'm not connected to them because I don't have them on Skype or Telegram or whatever. And so but also first contact because that's the person's there. You send them a message because it's immediate and it's easy, and they know it's you because it's your profile that sent the message, and so and there's no need for email or phone numbers or anything like that. It's just instantaneous, and so then that means you're in contact with that person, and it's just so incredibly useful, and there's just no alternative. There's nothing else like it. So that's an aspect of it that I hadn't quite realized. In fact, I hadn't realized how important it was until I lost it. And then I thought, holy, how am I going to contact X person? I don't know. I'll have to ask someone else to contact them on Twitter for me and ask them to contact me somehow. I mean, so everything is a bit more onerous now.
Are you surprised, though, after everything that's happened and what we've seen? I mean, I know it came as a surprise, but still, I mean, this is what's so frustrating about the situation, that we still continue to use it because it is the majority platform. As you say, it is the platform that you can interact and get in touch with other people, with friends or enemies or, you know, whatever. And Facebook is kind of more restricted in that way. I think Twitter is even more open in that sense,
yes,
where you can reach people.
Yeah, I think that, yes, it is. And it's massively open to reaching people. And another aspect, actually, before I forget, I was meant to say this earlier, is that on YouTube, as you'll know, it takes effort to make a video. You know, if I decide to contact my subscribers by way of a video, that will take at least an hour of my time to do that. More likely, it'll be a lot longer than that. On Twitter, it takes seconds. It takes seconds to write a tweet and post it, and that's it. And then all of your subscribers will potentially see that. So that is an incredibly useful way to keep in touch and remain visible to your subscribers, to your fans. So again, that's another aspect of it that I think is incredibly useful. But yeah, I didn't realize that the social networking aspect to it until it was gone. And then I thought, damn. So I've forgotten what was the question that you asked?
Well, it's just about the ability, of course, to talk to other people that, you know, you don't have in your, you know, the reach outside of the sphere, outside of the echo chamber, right? And that's what was so great about some of these platforms, your ability to reach people, you know?
Absolutely. Last year for Millennial, and I was using, and that's another thing I was using it for in the last month or so, I've been contacting people, first contact with a lot of people by Twitter DM to ask them if they wanted to appear on Millennial this year. It's another thing I can't do now. He contacted me, Mike Isaacson, the Antifa professor. He contacted me on Twitter. We got into a conversation. I suggested he come on my channel in Millennial. And that's how that happened. That very unique episode of YouTube history happened because of an interaction on Twitter. And, of course, he knew that he was talking to the real Millennial Woes. It's not an imposter or something because it's twitter.com/millennialwoes. And that is, it's just absolutely vital, really. I don't know what else to say about that aspect to it, that you could go over and over, but I don't think that this is right. I don't think it's moral, and I just don't think it should be, any corporation should have the ability to remove someone from the public square, because
this is the
public square now. I mean, the argument that it's a private company, it can do whatever it's like, I think that is just completely gone. Now, that is totally redundant as an argument. We are talking about a massive global corporation to which there is no rival at all.
Sorry to interrupt, but I have to say this. There's multiple reasons for this as well. I mentioned to you that the way that government and authorities have started using these platforms to disseminate vital information when there are urgent events indicates that you as a citizen, as a technicality, just need to have access to the platform. So I think it'd be the police that are notifying people if it's a shooting or something like that. In the case of the hurricane that was in America, East Coast here just a couple of weeks ago, there was vital data disseminated by FEMA and local authorities on Twitter and on Facebook. And so they're effectively saying that they're using these platforms as a way to communicate to the entire population. If you were banned and permanently not allowed to even set up a secondary account or something like that, that means you cannot see these vital messages. So clearly there is someone is doing something that's wrong along the line here, whether that's then government that has to jump ship and say, okay, we're not going to use this anymore. I would opt for another solution, which is, of course, let everybody on there. In your case,
I think it should.
You know, yeah, go ahead.
I would say that it really should be, you could make the case. I'm not going to say this, but I think you could make the case that it should be legally required for those reasons you just gave. It should be a sort of legal thing that everyone is entitled to a Twitter account without exception, because for these emergency cases and so on, this befall everyone. It doesn't matter which part of the world you're living in.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And you know, just showing on screen here, but just the double standards on these things too, that there's no rhyme or reason really. It's whoever happens to flag it because they don't like you. You know, that's kind of where it stands today, that clearly things that passes, and I mean, don't even get me into the issue of like the Sarah Hyungs and all that kind of stuff, cancel white people and the endless hatred towards whites. I mean, it just goes on and on in terms of the verified hatred too, for that matter. It's just like, you know, people have collected now pages and pages and pages of this stuff. You know, it just goes on and on, and you guys can pause and check these out if you haven't seen them before, but it's like total hatred against white people. And yeah, what happens?
It's amazing.
It's okay, you know.
It's straightforward anti-white racism of a shameless kind, and far more brutal and pitiless than a lot of the stuff. I mean, that you'll see, for example, coming. What I'm trying to say here is these people are shameless in what they're saying. I mean, they have no idea that they should be more compassionate, that maybe they've gone into an unhealthy way of being or whatever. There's no self-reflection at all. It's just, I like hating white people.
And it goes, and he passes the bar, and people are flagging and they're reporting, but nothing happens. Look at Sarah Hyung again. Does New York Times fire her? No, of course not. They defend her. They release a statement and say, well, she was just being mean back to those who are mean to her. You know, this total bullshit. And you didn't even, this is the thing. You didn't say, I hate black people and I want to kill them all, right? You know, and it's like nothing like that. It's just a statistical fact, which is just, you know, big deal. Get over it. It's reality. It's the truth. If you don't like it, we'll come with better arguments or make up an excuse or something for it. But it is what it is, you know. In this case, it's just opinions about how much they personally hate white people and how much they want to see them suffer. I mean, that's harassment, if anything, you know.
I am talking about our dispossession. And I've seen that, you see it all. And it's people saying really sick, sadistic, nasty things about white people and as a collective as well. I mean, the white race and all this, and mocking like the stereotypical characteristics of white people. You see this all the time. Damn, it was a thing. Damn white people and their such and such, whatever, their taste in clothes, their way of dancing, their concern for order and tidiness, etc. Whatever, any stereotypical trait was used. And I mean, it's the crassest form of, it's what would be called racism. If it were white people to talk about any, and so yes, why not? Well, if it's good for the goose, you know, it's racism against us.
That's just it. And so, you know, we can't fight back. And then of course they tarnish your reputation. They lie about you. They make stuff up in the news media. The news media ends up using that as sources for the Wikipedia pages. The Wikipedia pages effectively comes the history of who you are. It defines you as an individual, as a person. It will enable you not to be able to get certain services. You have had PayPal revoked. We have had our accounts terminated. It's just a matter of time before it's every other platform and every other person that they don't like. I mean, how long are we going to have our YouTube channel? Is that our, you know, because the terms of service is very fuzzy. It's not clear what you can and can't say, and it's very depending on who says it or depending on if someone reports it. What, harassment or bullying or something, or is it hate speech? I mean, this is what the First Amendment in America, and this is what free speech overall was in Europe and in the Western world, it used to be about. There's no law here that like enables these people to do these things. It's just they just come up with a term because they don't like it, and then they say, "Oh, this is hate speech." Well, the idea of free speech is that it is there as a framework to allow people to say things which you don't like and don't agree with. It's not, you're not threatening anybody. It's not illegal. That's my point. It's not. You're not threatening to murder anyone. You don't advocate for genocide. They've started with this new thing where they say, well, it will, you're enabling the things that will lead to violence. Oh, yeah, let's look at the mainstream media and what they're doing then. Let's examine those things, shall we? We're talking about media companies that take countries to war that enables the violence against Trump supporters. We saw in the wake up to the 2016 election. Remember that? How much they just kept, like, you know, antagonizing the situation. Will they take responsibility for their actions?
Yeah, of course. Well, there's no real need for them to do so because they control these platforms. It doesn't really matter. It's only we who are placed in this position of having to, well, worry all the time about
how much influence do we really wield compared to mainstream media and the reach, right? Also on top of it, it's like they can't even allow us in our little sphere that they've already have shadow banned us into a corner. As you said, we're literally part of a digital ghetto right now.
Terrible.
And even still, that's not enough for them. It's amazing.
No, they want us to be incontactable and unseeable by normal people. I think that, as we were saying earlier, and this is especially with Twitter, but especially just with the kind of stuff that you and I have been involved in for years. This is, we both have many concerns on our channels, many different topics that we deal with. But one of them is identitarianism. And this is a way for identitarianism to be brought to the public in a respectable, well-produced, sane, even-handed manner. And then it's not, it looks palatable to them, as it damn well should, by the way. And I think that is why people like you and I are scary to the progressives, the globalists, and so on, because we're good at getting this message out.
Yeah, and I mean they obviously don't like what we say and whatnot, but it's also the way that we deliver the message we offer. I mean, there's let's think of it this way, right? There's clearly a lot of problems in the Western world right now that's brought about by many different factions, but of course one of the biggest worrying elements for me right now is the fact that we're on the trajectory of being totally demographically replaced in our own countries, becoming a minority in our own countries. And we have an immigration policy in all countries which never have been voted on democratically. The elected officials, and in some cases unelected officials like in the European Commission and stuff like that, they're advocating for a policy where we cannot have a say. So our last measure is, of course, to bring attention and awareness to these issues by using the platforms that are out there where most people are on, the YouTubes, the Twitters, the Facebook, like saying, hey, listen, this is a big and bad idea that they're involved in. We offer a different solution. We have different ideas. We think that this will lead to this. And already just kind of monitoring and just tracking the news of what's happened, the developments in the real world, and commenting on that and saying either that's a bad idea or this is good. That's basically it.
It's us presenting ourselves as we are. We're not, because obviously the mainstream would say that you and I are crazed, irrational, racist misfits.
Right.
But people can see us the way we actually are. We're not. We're reasonable, open-minded people. But we have this concern, and this concern has been linked in the public's mind with being a crazy misfit. But we show that that's not true. You can care about your identity, your group, your nation, etc., without being some kind of nutter. And indeed, most people, it used to be that everyone did care about their ethnic group. It was the most natural thing in the world to care about. And they weren't mad. It was the default position to have.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, remember that too in the AIN, the Alternative Influencers Networks? That's actually one thing they did comment on. They said that, well, they managed to, speaking about people like us, to kind of give a perception of authenticity and that the audiences connect with them on a personal level. Remember, these are issues that were problems for them because, as you say, it shows that we are something different than these, I don't know, whatever, toothless hacks that they want us to be or something like that, right? We come off as rational. We are offering our insight and opinions on certain political issues and events in the world. And they don't like the fact that we were communicating, we're reaching people, we're talking with each other. People can see that we're normal, just regular folks that are relatable. We're relatable, and that was an issue for them. And their answer, of course, in this report was ban them all, right? Ban them all. These women that were like writing these papers, specifically Becca Lewis, she was like tweets after tweets about how censorship works and it's great, and we should just get these people off these platforms. Yep.
Deplatforming works. That was her phrase. And I thought, bloody hell. So we know exactly what you're all about. I mean, we know what you want. You want us all gone off the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
Off these major. They'll want us relegated to some tiny wee website that nobody watches, but not on on YouTube and not on Twitter and not on Facebook, not on Instagram, etc.
But they don't understand. We're not going to stop. It's not going to stop. No. If it's not us talking about it, there's going to be hundreds and thousands of other people tomorrow.
Because
people want to hear it. That's why.
Yeah.
You know,
it's growing all the time.
Yeah,
it's growing all the time. I mean, whatever. This is a thing. You know, there have been lots of. It's been a rocky road the last few years, but and still this awareness grows and grows and grows. You can't stop it now. I think. I really think it's unstoppable at this point.
Yeah, the genie's out of the bottle, as they say. I mean, that's it. It's they can't put it back. And actually, the more that they try to, this is what's so fascinating too, that whatever they do, they're going to lose, right? Our opposition, because the more they block us and censor us, you'll have the Streisand effect. You'll have people like, well, you know, what is it that's being blocked and shut down? And again, even if they do happen to be able to kill, let's say, a couple of channels or something like that. The need to have these, when people out there don't get to view those things, then, you know, there are people among those that are going to set up channels and continue talking about it. There's no end in sight. They're not going to stop blocking. They have to block everybody eventually because someone at some point is going to say something you don't like. We are of the opinion, of course, don't block anybody. Lay it all out on the table. Let the best arguments win. Let's have conversations about this. But they know that they're going to lose. So whatever they do, if they block us, they're going to lose. If they allow us to speak, they're going to lose, which means they're going to lose.
Yes, 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 they are. It's just a matter of how painful it's going to be for us in the meantime.
Yeah, and then at the end for them.
Oh, yeah, because everything is going to blow up in their face. I mean, there's no, that is inevitable. But I do think that the next 5 to 10 years are going to be pretty difficult.
Of course, they're gonna fight back. They're not gonna give up. Obviously,
clearly not. I mean, what happened to Alex Jones? That was amazing to me.
Yeah, it was
huge. But there was always this assumption that a really high profile figure like him was basically untouchable. He was always going to be fine. Well, I mean, now we know that they can take down anyone they want, and he's still got his own website. But as I understand it, they're trying to go after that as well. They're like, he's having to switch providers, hosting services, and I think domain registry as well. I'm not sure about that, but I believe that's the case. Either way, even if his own websites are fine, he's lost his YouTube, Twitter, Spotify, God knows what else. Apple. And that all was done in one day. So it's obviously coordinated, and they wanted us to know that it was coordinated, because otherwise they wouldn't have done it all in one day.
That's right. Otherwise they would have been a little bit more smart and slick about it. But it was to send a message. Say, listen, you better get back in line, or we've just kicked off the biggest alternative news outlet that there is. And so who else can't be done the same with, right? I mean, that's the case. And it's like they it's blood in the water now, too. And you saw mainstream, a ton of articles in the wake of this that just said, well, Alex Jones have been banned now, so what about this channel? What about this? You know, we've contacted YouTube to ask them to take down their channel. We had, like, Daily Beast articles about us written in that way. It's like,
oh, yes, that was disgraceful.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, it truly... is a, I mean, it's a kind of a cliche or whatever, but it truly is a system of Orwellian like nature. The magnitude of this and the authoritarian, dictatorial, just total Soviet style, Stasi censorship. You know.
Yeah, I have launched I launched one and it got rejected on appeal on Twitter. Then the second and it got rejected, and the third and it got rejected, and every time. It's a stock response. No matter what I've said in the appeal, it's a different text every time that I send. Whatever I send, it's just a stock response. So it's like they're not even listening. They're not even reading what I'm saying. Or it feels like that. And so, yeah, you feel like you are up against a complete monolith of a corporation. And you are. And they don't need to listen to you. This is the scary thing. As an individual, they, you have no power over them. You have no real importance to them. So why would they take your appeal seriously? We have to really work together on this. And this is what I've been trying to do. There's the hashtag Free Woes on Twitter. And I've been trying to get people to push that, not just for my own case, but for in general. We need to create this sense that when Twitter do something like this to someone, there is a backlash. There's a public backlash that radiates out from identitarians' circles to the broader public as well, to the centrists, the free speech advocates, and so on. We need to make Twitter aware this is not something that you can do and not get some comeback from it. This is something that you should do if you want to look bad.
Exactly.
But I also think that we should be contacting journalists who can really make this case, that someone should not be banned from Twitter for saying something that is a fact and that does not violate any of their policies. That it's ridiculous and completely unjust that I've been banned. And so I think we need to get journalists to really understand this. Doesn't matter whether you agree with my ideas or not. If you believe in free speech and you believe in rational discourse, then you surely should agree that it's not right for someone like me to be banned from Twitter for a tweet like that. It's absurd.
I know, and it feels it's also build up, right? It's not only over this. You have people that are monitoring us, they're watching, they're seeing what we're doing, and so then there's like a collective mountain of things that they make this judgment on. I'm not saying that Twitter specifically are, but although it's very possible, but it's people, we know that these other political organizations have a foot in with these platforms too, like the ADL with YouTube, SPLC, that are,
well,
that build
course,
databases and report
yeah.
people, you know, because they don't like what we talk about.
Yeah, and Twitter will know who I am. I mean, they'll have done some
yeah.
research. So yeah, it's not like I'd be naive to think that it's all being judged on this one tweet. They are not listening because they have decided we don't like you. And that tweet is just a pretext at this point. We don't care about the tweet.
Yeah.
We care about banning you because we don't like you because of your beliefs. And so I just want to really emphasize that I think that for all of our cause, and the cause of anyone who believes in free speech, I think that we should really push this for now. The Free Woes hashtag. Because, bombard Twitter employees, Jack and other members like the Trust and Safety team, because they are the ones who make these decisions and who direct their policy. Bombard them. Ask them, why have you banned this guy who did not violate your policy? He was not hateful. He did not promote violence. He did not harass or threaten, and he did not, it wasn't even a lie or anything like that. It wasn't even a bending of the truth. It was a completely factual statement. It wasn't even an opinion. It was a fact.
Exactly. That's right.
So I think we need to really push this in their face, as many of us as possible. How can you justify doing this to someone? Because, after all, it's me for now, it'll be other people in future. So yeah, and for the, just, even if you're not a figure, if you don't have a sort of profile to lose on Twitter, I think still it's the right thing to do for the sake of, justice and for the sake of identitarianism.
It's the least people out there can do, you know what I mean? To get the word out. And when you're watching this video, just pause for a second, head on over to Twitter. We know everyone has an account, and just tweet it out and a link to the video or whatever. It doesn't matter. Just use the hashtag and get it trending, get it out there because it's like...
Yeah.
You know,
and
yeah, go ahead.
And include @Jack. And there's also a Twitter, the vice president of the Trust and Safety team, I think it's Delbius, twitter.com/Delbius, @ that name as well into your tweet and use the hashtag. And yeah, just ask them, demand to know, how can you justify doing this to someone? How can you justify deleting him from the public square that you know Twitter is? So how can you justify that? They should be ashamed. I mean, it's disgraceful, and it's cruel as well what they've done.
Yeah, what's annoying with it too is that, you know, you have so many journalists and stuff, and these people and these worms, these managerial class people, the in betweens, the enablers of the globalist system and the you know liberal world order basically that are enabling this, and they think that they're really they're winning when they see this kind of stuff, right? They get like pound their chest and like, yeah, another one down, great, yo. It's like, you don't understand. You're an idiot if you think that this is not going to extend to you or someone that you care about one day, because there's no end in sight. The corridor which of accepted opinions is going to shrink and shrink and shrink, and we're going to become a world of total pansies and losers that can't even like address the reality that we're living in anymore. And it's like, it might be all of us today, but as you say, it's going to be you guys tomorrow, and you don't even know it yet. You're shearing this on. It's just, it's sickening that these people are like, they used to be all about free speech, and we want to get our opinions in there. Just go back to the 60s and 70s before they had won the culture war on a you know, it's bigger scale. All they were pushing was like, well, our right to speak and have our opinions in there, right? And now the tables are turned. They won the culture war. They took over the institutions. They infiltrated everything. And what do they do? They do the exact thing that the supposed enemies that did, that they hate so much, right? It's exactly the same tactics. Probably even, it's worse today, actually. It's worse. Didn't even do that, you know?
It's worse. Yeah. I mean, what they're doing now, removing people from the public square, on this global public square that of which there is no equivalent, that, I think, is really, it's quite unprecedented level of censorship and depersoning. Well, I mean, obviously, in combination, like, obviously, what's happened to me is not the worst example of it. I mean, what happened to Alex Jones is just incredible.
Yeah, definitely. And it's also this, you know, it's a straw man, right, that they attack. As I mentioned, that the history of who you are is being written by people who are clearly biased politically, but that do have access and have a foot in with mainstream media companies. So they write things in the media. They tell you who you are. You're a racist. You're a white supremacist. You're a Nazi. I mean, although none of this is proven or shown or pointed to and say, here, this is the proof that this person is this evil, wicked person. So when they do attack you, that's why you have a lot of people in the alt-light and stuff like that don't come out and defend us, because they know the lies about them in the media and stuff. But they believe the lies about people like us in the media, and they won't stand up for us either. And so, as you said, either we join or we die. That's the only option here. Everyone has to help out here, because it's like, it will be over. This will be over, this fight.
Yeah, they don't want to be associated with us. But the point is that they already are associated with us. And the line between the alt-right and the alt-right, I think, is very blurry and thin nowadays. I mean, who really cares? Certainly our enemies don't care.
They don't.
They lump us all in together, and therefore I think that we should respond together. You know, strength in numbers. This idea of, oh, well, I'll just disavow and hope for the best. They'll leave me alone then. That's pathetic. First of all, they won't leave you alone, and second, it's cowardly and immoral.
It is.
For you to just let that person be depersoned and deplatformed.
And it's like you're just playing in the little playpen that they gave you, and then tomorrow they will just close it up even more.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not this jumping around like some, you know, some freak in terms of like trying to appease people who clearly hate you anyway, and they don't care. And as I say, they think you're the same anyway. I mean, doesn't mean that you have to change who you are or your beliefs or anything like that. That's fine. But just like, stand up for people that are being censored or blocked, or no one is going to be able to stand up for you. And that's really how simple it is. I remember Alex Jones, he was, you know, I tweeted to him. I know he followed me on Twitter, so he saw it. I told him, like, hey, Red Ice, the company I started like 12 years ago, was just terminated. Overnight, we lost every subscription we had. We are financially, like, in the gutter. We're not going to be able to do anything if we don't get help. And, all I was asking for someone like him out of that situation, because now, of course, he himself was banned from PayPal, and so no one did anything. No one preemptively stood up and said, you know what, this is wrong. What should have happened, everyone should have amassed their audience where we do attacks on PayPal and say, If you do these things, we'll all terminate our accounts. Like a mass action against PayPal, that I know that you lose 200,000 customers overnight because you decided to boot one off, right? But that didn't happen. Nothing like that has happened. No organization has occurred.
Yeah. I think it's absolutely critical at this stage that we collectivize, for want of a less contentious word. We need to band together, because we know that our enemies, our mutual enemies, are very organized and completely shameless about, you know, working together, colluding, even in open plain sight, against us all. So you know, in response to that, to just hope for the best is crazy. And to openly disavow people because you don't share their, agree with them 100%, is cowardly and dishonourable. So I think, yeah, that it is account suspended. Yeah, yep. That's my page.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that we absolutely need to work together on this. I think that a lot of the bad blood that has existed among various factions of the dissident right, I think they really have to be put aside now. Because otherwise we are all just, it's going to be, let's just put it this way, it's going to be a lot more difficult and onerous for us to earn a living, do our thing, than it currently is. They're coming for us all.
Yep, that's right.
So let's work together and let's fight together.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this is so frustrating, and I don't want to continue driving a wedge between this, but there's a lot of toxic e-celebs out there that I just don't have much faith in. They have their own brand, but they don't really care about the bigger issue. If they're included for now within the goalpost of what's okay, they have no interest in trying to lobbying for widening that and let more people into the conversation. They just don't have an interest in that. They don't care. Well, I'm fine for now, or they'll continue to just kind of cower and bow down or appease, but it's like,
yeah.
At the end of that, there is like there's nothing but literally like gulags and camps at the end of it. This is what these leftists have done historically. You know, they always started to say, you know, well, if we let these evil people like us loose, then we'll build the camps and kill people. And it's like, actually, who actually does that is actually the left, the socialists, the communists, right? This is historically the Bolsheviks and all these commies that took power in all these countries have like collectively is responsible for hundreds of millions of deaths, right? And then they just project us on us and say, like, oh, you mass murder people. It's just, I mean, it's so insidious. And people are like, don't standing up and show a backbone on this is ultimately enabling what's coming down the road, which I truly have, like, fear for, because we're not going to stop talking about the issues are so severe in our countries. We have to address these things. What's their solution going to be when they realize it's not going to be enough to ban us online? What happens then? What's the next step they're going to take?
Yeah. Yeah, well, indeed. What are they going to do? They're going to come from us IRL in some way.
I think they are. And I think that shutting down people's ability to financially take care of themselves is not a very bright idea. Again, they think might be winning right now, but they're literally they're in a way they're also creating people who are they're radicalized. They have nothing left to lose. They're literally creating dangerous individuals. I mean,
yeah, if you take
away people's ability to take care of their own families, I mean, if you push a man to that end, they have nothing left to lose, and these people will be angry. Look at the YouTube shooter, right? How many talk about that anymore? But look at what happened to her, right? They shadow banned her. I don't even know if that was true, but you know, she dropped in views or whatever. And she went and shoot up the... Imagine if that was a right-winger was doing that. Oh, my God. We'd be hearing about that still to this day. Everyone's account would have been gone by now. You know?
Yeah. 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 That was a strange story, but it seemed like a prelude. It seemed like you could imagine this being a sort of prototype for something that's going to happen in the future in a much more awful way. Because the thing is that these are social forces, the elemental forces that cannot be contained. They have to be guided, channeled, but they have to be allowed in some way. Because otherwise, yes, it will get nasty. And I'm not talking that I will do anything or that I would encourage people to do anything crazy. I wouldn't. I just know that these are social currents that have to express themselves somehow. So, yeah. Censorship in the end. I mean, it's the cliche of I've forgotten the wording now, but those who make peaceful discussion impossible make violent revolution inevitable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
It's true. That's just it. Do they think it's going to go away? I mean, it's a pressure cooker, and at the very least, our ability to be able to address the real world problems that we see is, if anything, going to alleviate that fact, right? As a steam bug, it's almost like, you know. I'm very much of the conspiratorial mind. I think that these people are chess players. Those who are pulling the strings. I'm saying, I'm not just the middle men or whatever. But it's almost as if they want to evoke reaction so that they can use that as excuses to finally go after us. It's like the, you know, the Bill Hicks joke, right? He's playing America, and they're throwing a gun in front of someone's poor you know, in front of someone's feet that they've been suppressing for years, and they just say, pick up the gun. You know, I'm just waiting. Pick up that gun, you know, when they do, and that's it. But regardless, we're not going to go away. That this is the thing which they have to understand. And so what you said is that what needs to happen, of course, is that these platforms need to enable people to be on them and discuss their ideas and reach people. That's what needs to happen. It's very simple, actually. Most of them are based in America. I know that they're global companies to a certain extent, but most of them are based in America, and that there is a First Amendment there. It just enables people's ability to talk about these things. It's not that difficult.
I mean, the First Amendment applies in America to public spaces, and the idea that Twitter is not a public space is absolutely just crazy. It's the public space of today. So, of course, the First Amendment must apply there, and of course, they should not be allowed to ban people from there. Certainly not. I suppose I could understand some edge cases, like extreme cases, but basically, it's easy to block people that you don't like on Twitter or whatever. So they don't need to do it on behalf of all the users. They don't need to block that person from using the service at all. They should. This is something that needs to be. I think it should be the main political thing that the dissident right concentrate on for the next 5 years or so. I think that we have to secure our place on the internet. If we don't do that, we are not going to achieve anything else.
Yeah, I encourage alternatives and all that kind of stuff too. That's good. I mean, you should be able to have a place where you can, you know, you can cross link if you have YouTube or whatever, and then you know that YouTube is not going to allow something, make a video, and then you take out the portion that you think they're going to be bothered by, and you even write in the YouTube video, like, hey, I know that this is going to be blocked or censored, so go here to see the full version. You know, begin to cross-reference the platforms. If you're blocked on Twitter, use Facebook to counterattack and stuff like that. You know, we have to use that. And then, of course, on top of that, you have kind of newer developments which have free speech in mind, the Minds, the Gabs, the Vreezoxies, and all these kinds of things, which we've been talking about and addressing on this show. But at the same time, it is the access to the platforms where the audience is that needs that we need to have access to. And many of these platforms, they were funded to the tunes of hundreds of millions, in some cases, in subsidies, government subsidies. In other words, it's people out there that helped to build them and build the popularity of them. And it wasn't just an accident that this one platform took off or whatever. They got help along the way. And as you say, the only thing that needs to be instituted is like a very simple Internet Bill of Rights, which basically says that you can't discriminate against people on all these things that they already have, but then also include on political bases involvement. And if you do plan to kick someone off or ban them or terminate them or whatever, it needs to be proven in the same way that it needs to be proven if you're going to be locked away in a jail cell, you know, that you have done something actually wrong that's breaking the law, right?
Of course. I think there should be some way for this to be, but the way it's done now is just Kafka-esque. I mean, I'm trying to justify myself to them. I'm trying to explain to them how I have not violated their rules, and they're not even listening. That is pretty scary. And I don't think they should be allowed to do that. But I don't think they should be allowed to remove someone like me from it in the first place. It's maddening. It's silly. But the thing is, I think that Trump, because Alex Jones helped him get elected, I think that Trump must be aware of this. He must be aware of the censorship that's going on.
He is. And he has talked about it. Remember, he did a couple of tweets. He knows about how Google is like fumbling, and they don't link to his State of the Union addresses on the front page of Google when they did to Obama. There's all these things that's happened. He knows it. And I'm just waiting for him to do something, like this, you know, executive order or something that just like, you know, puts handcuffs on these people that are doing all this stuff. And they know that it's been in the news. I mean, Jack Dorsey, he wasn't testifying in a hearing not too long ago, talking about, among other things, this issue of censoring. And of course, they're denying it and saying, well, that was a mistake and we'll get better at that. And same thing with Facebook. But it isn't getting better. Nothing is being done about this. Politicians need to step in and stop them from doing. How is this not meddling in the election? I mean, if they're so concerned about Russia and taking out a couple of ads on Facebook or what the hell ever, or their ability to tweet or post on Facebook. But what about our ability to reach, you know, our people in our respective countries, our constituents, our people that are voters? You want to help to influence them. You want to help to be part of the debate of saying, you know, saying your political, you know, story, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we need to push, as I say, I think this needs to be the main issue for the next few years. I think it should animate the 2020 election campaign, hopefully. It should be one of those big things that we are fighting for free speech on the internet, because without that, I don't need to paint what it will be like. We all know, but I think that Trump needs to be really pushed to understand that this is something that the public want and need. It's not what the SJWs want and need. It's not what the Antifa want and need. But it's something that the public in general want and need and deserve to have. And so we want that Internet Bill of Rights. We want these companies forced to, as I said, everyone is entitled to a Twitter account. I think that in the world, and you cannot take it away from them. You cannot remove that person from the public square.
Well, especially not when the officials in respective countries are using these platforms to communicate vital messages and information on. Then that's a violation, and someone needs to fight that legally. I know that Jared Taylor, he was had a lawsuit against Twitter, and apparently someone just dropped in and said, well, this judge is agreeing a little bit too much with you, Jared, so we're going to remove that and put another one in place. And it looked like after that point, things started to turn. It's so corrupt. That's the other thing, too. It's like they have their tentacles in every pie out there, and it feels impossible to fight back, you know. But there are people that have gotten their accounts reinstated again, which is also like, of course, it's annoying, because then it just means, oh, if you happen to know the right person or the right influencer here or there, then they can let you back on there, basically.
Yeah, it's not just. It's not fair. Of course not. But on the other hand, you can't blame anyone for wanting their Twitter account back. I mean, it's
no, of course not. No, I'm saying that's right. But just that it's like it's not principle. It's just this. Well, I guess we can remove them, and then if someone else complains in the right way, that or enough people, that I guess we can enable them back on. Then you know, it's like, well, what the hell is? How does? What's the decision process here?
There's no consistency there.
No.
And you know, on the other hand, he doesn't have a friend in a high place, so we'll just take away his freedom of speech.
It's equality, Woz. It's equality. Yeah, equal. We need equal access. What the hell happened to that line, right?
Yeah, indeed. So yeah,
and then the lefties laugh at us and say, oh, "Look at them! They're complaining that they're getting censored now." You know, like these smug freaks. You know, it's just amazing.
Yeah, I know. But they've got no idea what they're playing with. That's the thing. I mean, this is fundamental human freedoms and dignity. So, yeah, I think that we have to push for this Internet Bill of Rights, or the SMACA, the Social Media Anti-Censorship Act, which there's a petition on the U.S. petition website.
That's right.
SMACA, S-M-A-C-A.
You pulled that up here.
You could maybe link it to people, because that needs signatures like very fast in the next few days in order to get up to 200,000. And that's our first campaign for this, our first petition for this. And and then I think Trump, hopefully, I mean, it really all rests on him, because we know the Democrats won't do it, the establishment GOP won't do it. In European countries, most of the governments want even more they want Twitter and YouTube and so on to be even more censorious. So it really all rests on Trump. It's one guy who can do this.
Yeah, it is, you know, and he has talked about it. That's right. I tried to pull it up there. I forgot the abbreviation first, but that's right. SMACA. there are some people that have tweeted about this. This is another good, too. I'll see if I can pull up the link to that petition, folks, and I'll add that in the description as well. But here's, Attorney Josh Smith's Social Media Anti-Censorship Act, SMACA. Proposal would prohibit censorship of lawful speech on major social media platforms. And again, he has a couple of easy following rules here. Basically, it includes denial of platform access and normal use thereof, lockout, suspension, bans, and stuff like that. No shadow banning, issuance of verified status based on factors unrelated to identity authentication, no throttling accounts and or content without disclosure, embargoing content, i.e. memory holding content without the consent of the creator, no manipulation trending algorithms without disclosure, and that's the same thing that, that's also happened. Things, enough people talk about stuff and they just put that in the memory hole. And then, of course, I like this last one there too, demonetization. And then define these things too, right? That's the thing. It's like, what's difficult about it is that it's never defined. Like, okay, well, what exactly constitute hate speech? Give us the exact definitions of these things so we know that we're not violating them so that we can be smart and remain on the platforms. But they've gained the upper hand by not being clear about what it is that it means, right?
Yes. Yes. Exactly. And this is what governments do as well. They'll say that, well, you are going to jail for hate speech, but we will decide arbitrarily what is hate speech. And of course, it will depend on the context and everything else, and the way you said it, and the intent behind saying it, all the rest of it. So, it's not clear at all.
Very fuzzy. And then they have last thing I want to read from this here: lawful speech is based on the standard enshrined in the U.S. Constitution with the following limitations, right? No child pornography. I don't know if the left would agree with that. It doesn't seem so anymore. No explicit credible threats of physical violence. No publishing any individual's non-public residential addresses, phone numbers, email addresses without their consent. Platforms may choose to prohibit otherwise lawful pornographic video, i.e. video containing explicit sexual act. And also restrictions on copyrighted content are already addressed by the DMCA, exactly. It's simple. It is simple. In the meantime, of course, Woz, we have to address the things that you mentioned. Pressure, I want everyone out there to act on the Free Woz hashtag. Come on, get it trending, just tweet about it, get it out there. And it should have been a quicker, you know, response right away, but it is what it is now. How many, and you, of course, yourself, you had to, you know, kind of initiate and get the ball rolling a little bit on this too.
Yes, I did. I did. I think in future it would be better if we had an organized, a really organized response to this, because it was chaotic.
Yeah.
It was chaotic for me the first few days trying to coordinate people who, of course, are all on different platforms. Some of them are only on Twitter, so I can't contact them. And I was trying to coordinate people to let everyone make a video about what happened to me, and then in return, the same will be done for you if it happens to you. Sort of union of YouTubers who would, you know, make videos in support of each other when this happened. I think that we should do that. I think we should have something that kicks into gear immediately when someone is deplatformed from either YouTube or Twitter. And if they want this, if it means a lot to them, then that union should do whatever it can. Because, again, this is so important. If we don't fight for this, we will not get it.
You know, if we can't talk about our ideas, then everything obviously will be over in terms of, like, attracting new people, awakening people to the realization of what's happening. We can't, folks, I mean, guys, come on, you guys know, you can't trust the mainstream media, you can't trust anyone that's part of the establishment to try to attack and, the establishment. And you know, they won't bite the hand that feeds them. They will just be propping up whatever happens in the official world. We need independent, alternative, objective sources that can, talk about these things and address the reality of the situation that we're experiencing in our respective countries, in the West overall. And then, of course, our ability to reach people. And that's why we've gained so much ground, Woz, is because we had an ability to reach people with our ideas. And people also want to hear them on top of it, of course. But imagine where we would be even today if we hadn't experienced the shadow banning and the blocking and the termination that we've done basically since Trump came into office. This thing has been kicked into higher gears. Every month goes by, something new is like upping, leading up not only to the midterm elections in America, but even other countries that have their own elections, right, that you have blocking and you have meddling in the elections, keeping trending hashtags down and stuff like that. I mean, this is legally, people have to start acting against this.
Yeah, absolutely. This is not just, see, something I said 2 days after it happened, well, 36 hours after it happened, I did an AMA, and I was quite irate at the time. And I said, this is not just entertainment, because I think that there is a danger that while you and I are working very hard, and there are people who think that it's not that important, I don't need to do my bit to protect this. But you do. You know, you really do. And you can do something to protect this. Don't ever think that you don't have agency in that way. Everyone can help here. And I honestly think that, well, you know, the more people who are working on this, the more people who are campaigning for this, who, you know, tweeting the hashtag and so on, the better a chance we'll have. So, yeah, it's essential. It's one of the biggest battles of that we have to face. And certainly at this point, I think it is the battle that we have to take on.
Yeah, and the intermediate future here, it definitely is. I mean, if we lose our ability to reach people, then that's it. And we have to be creative. We have to do different things to get around this and to, you know, but as you said, there needs to be a network of people in place that have audiences of themselves that can just, like, trigger an immediate response, as you say, and you can, so like flood different social media, the contact them and write, I'm going to cancel my account, I'm going to, you know, just boom, a massive effect. And I think you said something like, we can rally in the millions of people collectively if we look at the people that was in the Alternative Influence Network, for example. Just those people.
Oh, that would be a lot of people. I approached a certain number of YouTubers, and they agreed to be part of this union. And I have to say that not all of them have made, in fact, not, I think half of them have made a video about me, and the other half haven't done it. And I'm very disappointed by that, because we need solidarity. I mean, this is not a game. We really need solidarity. If you say you're going to be part of this union, you're going to do your bit, please do your bit, because otherwise why should everyone else make a video for you when you get deplatformed? But anyway, the idea is...
And that's how the left wins. It's total rifts between the people that are... And you don't even have to be... And this is what's the thing. You don't have to be explicitly, like, on the right. You just have to basically be anti-globalist or anti-left. That's all you have to be, to a certain extent, to say, look at what they're doing, their behavior is wrong, and it's going to lead to bad things. And you don't have to agree with everyone of the people that you're standing up to. A famous man once said, you know, I don't agree with what you say, but I'll fight to the death your right to say those things. And what, you know, that's what we need back.
Or for your right to tweet those things.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
yeah.
Well, but yeah, the idea of the union was that I counted up the subscriberships of everyone, the people who'd agreed to be part of this. And it was about 1.5 million people. And that was only, look, I think, less than about 10 YouTubers, 1.5 million people. And I thought, okay, let's say that there's going to be some overlap between these different channels, obviously. So let's say it's only 1 million people. So let's say that only 1/4 of them have a Twitter account. So that's 1/4 of 1 million people that could be mobilized to go for it, really go for it, and save this person's Twitter account. Not, I mean, mine, yeah, but the next person's as well, and the next person's YouTube account, etc. Because, this will happen if we don't fight it. If we don't fight it, of course they're going to do it to us. Of course they are.
Yeah, they're taking us out one by one.
And yet, if we wanted to, they're taking us out one by one, relying on the fact that each time there won't be a huge backlash. If they do it one by one, then they can do it, you know, piecemeal. But the fact is that we could choose to fight back. As I say, I think 1/4 of 1 million people could be tweeting to Jack Dorsey and these other members of the Trust and Safety team at Twitter right now if we had done this better. And I mean, it's not over yet. Please do it. Please do it. But the point is, it could be if we wanted to, we could be doing this. We could be winning. And it frustrates me so much that people assume, well, it's probably hopeless. It's not hopeless. It's not hopeless. It's less than a week ago now. It's still less than a week. It's not hopeless. Even 2 weeks from now, it's still not hopeless. This can always be fought, but we have to do it together, and ideally all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
For a sustained period.
Exactly, and we have to make it difficult for them to do these things. They should feel that it's hurting their credibility when they do these things. It's hurting the access that people or the relationship that people have to their platforms. I mean, I don't think we talked about this yet. We briefly talked about it before we started this show, Woz, but what people need to understand too is that we are the products on these platforms, right? That we develop dependency on them, and we are also people, of course, or all people are being used. They're mining our behaviors, our data, our on how we network with people, what we say. Facebook even has gone so far that if you write a reply or write something, start writing something in the little box, you know, comment field or making a post, they even map what you deleted, right? What you changed, what you, I'm not going to word it that way, I'm going to word it this way, right? Meaning they're even like monitoring your self-censorship. How do we, you know, you are the product. They're tracking everything, and they're developing these platforms as a way for us to become addicted to them effectively. What happened to you, Woz, is that someone came in and they took away your cocaine. You're like, you're feeling the repercussions of it. I don't really have that relationship to Twitter. I'm not on that much, but I know that people are. And so a part of me still feels, damn it, you know, we shouldn't be on these platforms and they're bad and stuff. But again, the reason why we are on the platform is because we're into the political scene. We're into the cultural dialogue and stuff like that. We have to be there.
We're on those platforms is that everyone else is on those platforms.
We're not just screwing around and posting cat videos.
We don't need another safe space, right? We don't need another place for us to discuss our ideas. We need to be in the public space.
Yeah, that's right.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And this idea that, well, why don't you just make your own platform? No. That's just a non-starter. There is only one Twitter, there is only one YouTube, and we have to get them to respect freedom.
We need both. We need the platform where we can actually share all our ideas that we know are not going to be censored, but then we need to be on the platform that for now we know is being censored and use that as a way to gain still influence and audience and get those over to watch all of your content and all your material and stuff like that. So we need to play this game for now. We shouldn't have to be like this, but it is what it is. It's the fight that it is. And they're trying to use this to win politically, to just completely flood us demographically. And anyone who's critical of the system, anyone who's critical of the establishment and what the globalists are doing, they are going to target you, they're going to shut you down, and they're going to come for you. And that's why we have to band together, stand up together, fight back, make it difficult and hard for them, and expose them in their behavior and what they're doing. And also, that this has real ramifications when it comes to people's ability to choose political candidates and political parties, what to vote for and what to think about these things. And they are actively limiting our ability to communicate our political messages, which should be against the law, and it needs to be fought legally as well.
Yes, yes, absolutely. But for now, in the immediate short term, that hashtag, please tweet it. And please tweet to Jack and Delbius and anyone else you can find at Twitter, and hold them to account for what they've done to me, please.
Absolutely. Well, Woz, anything else you want to add to this before we round things off? I'm sad that you lost your account. You had 22,000 people on there. That's a lot. A lot of people, you know, don't have those kinds of. Most people don't have that kind of audience and reach. Most people just have a few hundred if you check most people's accounts. So that's a big portion of people access to people that you lost. I think the advice I have is, of course, just do spread out. I know it's more work and stuff like that, but there are platforms that even offer you to multi-post, right, on multiple platforms at the same time. You don't have to sit for hours and post or whatever, tweet things. But get on more platforms, spread out, continue building your audience, and of course, continue lobbying, as we've declared already, for our ability to continue to be on these platforms. And ultimately, if justice is to be served here, you should get your account back, because what you said is not hateful, it's not wrong, it's statistical facts, and there's no basis why they should have done this, and they should reply to you and say, sorry man, it was a mistake, and get you back your account.
Yes, indeed, they should. And that would be great.
Well, in the meantime, you guys know the YouTube channel, of course, Millennial Woz. And please round things off for us if there's anything you'd like to add before we end this time.
No, I think we've said everything. I would just say, let's push this now while the iron is hot, because it won't stay hot forever, for very long.
That's true. Yeah, and people out there should know. Otherwise, it'll be you tomorrow. So help us stop it now. All right. Thanks.
Try to contact journalists and make them aware of what's going on in my case, but just in general, because I think they need to really talk about this, and that will hopefully have some effect on Twitter, make them reconsider these decisions. So
there we go. Absolutely. Thanks for joining us, Woz.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, in a time when virtually all social media is controlled by what seems like a single hidden hand, with certain people and alternative media outlets getting banned from multiple platforms at the same time, we need a way to bypass them and their control. Telegram. Join our Telegram group. Go to t.me/RedIceTV and download the free speech app, the pro-free speech app, that have refused to hand over their encryption keys to governments that have requested them. This is an app that allows us to communicate directly with you. It's available both for your phone and desktop computer. So join the RedIce TV Telegram group right now for announcements and updates, news and alerts when we have new content up. The app even allows us to upload content straight to it should our YouTube channel and other social media accounts be taken down. So join our Telegram group and allow us to have an unfiltered, uncensored line of communication with you. Join our Telegram group. Go to t.me/RedIceTV and download the free speech app, Telegram.